You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
That stadium is going to be rocking, and heaven help whoever walks in there to play us.
Sustained effort and violence, you play your ass off.
You're watching the Pirate Preview on the Sports Objective. Join us every Tuesday night on YouTube Live as we're joined by beat writers and other media members. We take a look at what lies ahead for the Pirates. Now, here are the guys.
It is a first down. Pirates.
Welcome into the Pirate Preview. It's bowl week, and we've got a lot of coverage, as you can tell, all week long. And Bubba from China Grove, Bubba Rosenbaum, man, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. You know, this time a week from now, we'll be, I guess, what, about halftime? Not quite halftime. Yep. Sometime in the second quarter down in Birmingham. In the last couple weeks have gone by pretty quickly, and it'll be game day before you know it.
No doubt. And I got a very special guest with us tonight, Matt Semenza, all the way in the great state of Connecticut. I think your weather has come south to North and South Carolina, man.
Yes, sir. It's pretty cold up here. Not the greatest weather. I wish I was in the Carolinas with you guys, but starting to feel like game week, fellas, and looking forward to catching up with Joe tonight.
No doubt. Bubba got a very special guest, and glad to have him on tonight.
Yeah. About a week ago, a little over a week ago, we caught up with interim head coach Chad Staggs, and right now very excited to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, Joe Cash. And Joe, we appreciate your time this evening.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. And yeah, week from now, we ought to be about halftime. Ought to be a pretty good one. Looking forward to it.
It seems like it's been forever since the announcement of the bowl. I just want to get your take from, we're very excited. First time to ever play the Chanticleers. It's hard to believe with both programs in football, that is. And we're hoping that maybe that we can have a home and home at some point. But first of all, I want to get your thoughts on the matchup.
I'm excited about it, David, to be honest with you. I mean, because this obviously is, you know, a North Carolina, South Carolina State kind of rivalry, if you will, kind of matchup, right? I mean, we've never played on the football field, but I mean, it kind of has that feel. I mean, these two schools are not that far apart geographically. Of course, baseball just played the regional in Greenville last spring, and that was a heck of a regional up there, right? And you would really love to see a home and home, not just in football or baseball, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, just about anything. I mean, it feels like it should be the case, you know? I mean, right? I mean, both fan bases would be close to each other. It would be a great trip. But first time on the gridiron, we got to go all the way to Birmingham, Alabama to play. And when this matchup came out, I thought, okay, good. You know, this ought to be a good, you know, Sunbelt AAC kind of game. Looking forward to it.
Quick story real quick, because I know we're talking about the bowl and we have about 10 minutes with you before you have to go. But my daughter and son were with me in the jungle in right field. And our fans are really hard, as you know, on the opposing
team. Oh, yeah.
And they were heckling the pitchers really bad in the bullpen there in right field. And the kid, there was this one kid, and he kept begging for a ball, baseball. Please give me a ball. Please, sir. 44 or whatever number, right? So the whole time, none of the pitchers gave him the time of day or the kids. And all of a sudden, the end of the game, my daughter was one of the only kids that didn't like heckle them. And he walked up to her and gave her a baseball. So I can't remember the player. I wish I could, but I just thought that was really cool. And the kind of players at Coastal Carolina. So I want to share that story tonight.
Oh, very nice. Appreciate that. That's good. Good story.
Yeah. Let's talk football. The matchup is obviously a big one, as we talked about. Birmingham, some fans have, you know, that don't know any better wanted to be in Coastal. I understand the trip is shorter, but I know for you guys, you wanted to be out of town. You don't want to be playing your home. That's what we were told there, the game, the bowl right there, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. You guys wanted to travel somewhere else.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, the Myrtle Beach folks put on a great bowl game, but I don't think economically it's what they would want. I mean, you're right there in the community already. So what you would really like is a Marshall kind of fan base that will bring 5,000-7,000 people to the beach, a UConn bunch that brought a good fan contingent yesterday. I mean, that was a good bowl game for Myrtle Beach to be able to put that on and have fan bases from out of town to come in economically. That's really what you want. I don't expect us, you know, to play in that thing, even though it's in our own stadium. I just don't think, you know, again, from an economic standpoint, it would make a whole lot of sense. And so for us to go out of town, for us to go to Birmingham, I think is a great opportunity. Just like going to Orlando the last two seasons for the Cure Bowl has been both those trips, you know, especially last year when we actually got the bowl experience, you know, year before we fly in, day before the game, we play it. And that's, it's basically like going on the road. But, you know, last year you get a chance to go to Orlando, go to Universal for a few days and enjoy it and go out and win a bowl game. But, yeah, going out of town, I think, is what makes more sense than staying at home.
Joe, we'll dive right into things. On the offensive side, obviously the X factor, three-time Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, Grayson McCall. He's entered the transfer portal. We've heard Auburn. We've heard Florida. We've heard East Carolina head coach Mike Houston say not only is he going to be playing in this game, we're hearing that he's going to be back next season in Conway. So what can you tell us about Grayson?
Just about everything you just said. I mean, we're not real sure what's going to happen. I mean, I'm just glad that he's playing in this game. Because that gives us a great chance offensively. I mean, that's no knock on our other kids, you know, that play quarterback for us. But when you have a guy like Grayson who's been responsible for 94 touchdowns in his career, he's only, you know, thrown 8 interceptions, set all sorts of school records. As you mentioned, the 3-time conference player of the year, not just the offensive player, the player of the year in our league, which is a pretty good league. That guy's a difference maker, and you got to have him on the field. When he said that he was going in the portal, but he was going to play this game, I was like, you know, okay. Not terribly, maybe unexpected that he was going to go to the portal with the coaching change. I don't know that that happens if we don't change coaches. Maybe he sticks around. I mean, we don't know. I mean, who knows? But at least for this game, this time next week, he will be on the field. And he'll give us a great chance because that's just the kind of player that he is, a great quarterback, a great competitor, and a winner.
Joe, I wanted to ask you, you know, and obviously in 2022, the one certainty in college football is uncertainty and change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at Coastal, you guys have had such a tremendous run here for the last few years. And all of a sudden, though, in the offseason, you know, a lot of change, right? Your head coach moves on. You've had the rumors about McCall and then, you know, some opt-outs as well. So a lot of change. What's the mood of the team and how are they handling, you know, all this change within the program?
I think right now it's business as usual. I think the last two games, there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of distraction going on our last two. I mean, we rolled through our first 10. We were 9-1. Ranked in the top 25, they're on the outer fringes of the top 25 of the polls, and then we get to our last two games, the one at James Madison, and James Madison's good. They're not 40 points better than us, and then we get to the conference championship game, and on the morning of the conference championship game, that's when all you know what broke loose in terms of Jamie Chadwell's going to Liberty and all this kind of stuff, and it's all over the hotel and. You know, everybody pretty much knew that to be the case anyway, even before that story broke. And there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of distractions. I think, though, over the past 3 weeks, we've locked in. You know, we've kind of gotten things focused. I mean, this is a reward for a great season, right? You go to a bowl game, you win 9 games, you know, you go play on national television against a quality AAC opponent. Our team is locked in. They want to go win this game. So they put the distractions behind them. We kind of know the way forward with our new coach. Don't know who all the new staff is going to be yet. That is to come. But, you know, we kind of know now what the path forward is, and we'll be locked in on the 27th.
Obviously, plenty of skill pieces in this Coastal Carolina offense for Grayson McCall to distribute the ball to. Jared Brown, been impressed with what I've seen out of him. And then also when we talk about the transfer portal and the craziness of this day and age of college football, it benefited the Chanticleers with the addition of a receiver like Sam Pinckney. So talk about those two gentlemen and what they provide out wide for Coastal.
Yeah, I mean, you just nailed it. I mean, those are our two biggest wide receivers, our two best, most productive guys we've had on the outside this season. I mean, Sam with 67 catches and over 900 yards. Jared is our speed guy. he is our X factor kind of guy. And I think I was talking with somebody else a little earlier today about that. Six touchdown catches this season leads us. All six of those have been 30 plus yards, right? I mean, so when there's a big play, he's probably going to be involved in that some way. Five of those were 50 plus yards, you know, and he's got, again, a speed like we don't really have out of anybody else. I mean, he is a game breaker. So when we want to try to get the ball to somebody to make some plays down the field, you know, those two kind of guys, you know, those guys are the guys. You know, Sam Pinckney had a big conference championship game. He's kind of our possession guy, right? He's not going to really blow past you, but he's got great hands and great instincts coming to us from Georgia State, being the experienced player that he is. Jared is the guy that, you know, he's had a couple of drops this season, but he always comes back and always seemingly makes the big play for us when we need it.
And, Joe, one of the things that I love about this matchup is we've had some opt-outs. I know we talked about that with Grayson with the potentially transferring, but the fact of the matter is both of these teams want to play. And mm-hmm. I know there's some schools that maybe didn't make the playoff or blah, blah, blah. But this particular case, you've got guys that from both teams that want to play, and both teams, I think, are evenly matched. How about what do you think?
I think the even matchup, that is like hammer right on top of the nail, because when I start to look at the stats, it's almost like I'm looking at a kind of a mirror image of these teams. Very good on offense, experienced quarterbacks that have been there for a long time. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, East Carolina, very good against the run. Not so great against the pass. Coastal Carolina, pretty good against the run. Not so good against the pass. So it's kind of like, wow, you know, I mean, geez, you know, are we going to see kind of mirror images of each other? But one thing that I do notice about ECU, though, when I start to look at an opponent, when I look at the stat sheet, there are a couple of things that I go to right away, and that's turnover margin and penalties. East Carolina's turned the ball over seven times this season, lost two fumbles. That is pretty doggone good, and they're not penalized very many times either. That's disciplined football. You know, if East Carolina plays like that, they're going to be tough to beat on the 27th.
Joe, you talk about the Chanticleers being pretty good against the run themselves. I want to say they're averaging, allowing 3.7, 3.8 yards per carry, but I watched a decent amount of that game against App State, and one of the things that stood out, I think it was fairly early in that game, was a play that Gerard Clark, the 6'4", 340-pound nose tackle made. East Carolina in this game will be playing without its starting center, Avery Jones, who elected to enter the transfer portal, has since moved on to Illinois. Hampton Ergel will be, from everything we're hearing, the one getting the starting nod. He certainly has a force to deal with in Gerard Clark.
Gerard's a next-level player, and that App State game is a perfect example of how he can dominate a game. App State, experienced offensive line. They've got running backs that are really, really good, but they couldn't get anything going, and it had a lot to do with number 15, Gerard Clark. I mean, he blew up guys at the line of scrimmage. I mean, we made a couple of short yardage stops, and he was right there in the middle of all of that, and he's done that all year for us. He's really done that the last couple of years for us in there at that nose tackle spot. So, yeah, I mean, East Carolina's going to have to try to find a way. And I'd heard about the ECU center was going to leave, and he was gone and whatnot. And I thought, well, you know what? They're going to have to figure out how to account for Gerard Clark. If, you know, Gerard's on his game, he's going to factor in our run defense and be a significant factor in us being able to stop. And East Carolina run game is pretty good with the best running back in the AAC.
And as we wrap this up, I know we've got about a minute left. What about special teams? We've had some tough with our place kicking, lost a few games because of it. What about special teams for you guys?
We've been decent there. I mean, I'm not going to say we've been spectacular because we haven't. I mean, we've got a pretty good kicker who, you know, he was good early and then hit a kind of a rough patch. But then towards the end of the year, I think he got his confidence back. So, if it comes down to, you know, a less than 50-yard kick, I feel pretty good about that. I think he kind of got his feet back under him a little bit, got to feeling pretty good again. And, you know, we'll just see. We had to replace our entire special teams unit this season. I mean, we had a lot of experience, and we had to start all over again in 2022, and that was one of the areas. And so hopefully next year these guys will be better than what they are this year. But they've been good, and I feel pretty good about them.
And, Joe, appreciate the time. I know you got a lot going on, including you have a podcast that you're getting ready to do yourself.
Yep.
Want to promote that and how people can hear the game next week on Tuesday night.
Hey, I appreciate that. So the Strut Podcast, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We're on Spotify. We drop usually Wednesday or Thursday every week. And, of course, this week we're going to have our head coach, our interim head coach, Chad Staggs. We've got an interview coming up with him here shortly. We had Tim Beck on last week, our new coach, who will start with us in 2023. So the Strut Podcast. And then, you know, our flagship is Hot Talk 99.5 out of Myrtle Beach, and we'll be on the air starting at 5 o'clock on Tuesday the 27th. That's 5 o'clock Eastern time for the 6:45 kickoff there in Birmingham.
It's going to be a great time, and look forward to get a chance to meet you and there in Birmingham. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Maybe we can talk some basketball or baseball in the future.
Absolutely. Would love to. Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right, have a great night.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, guys, Joe Cashin, the Coastal Carolina play-by-play voice, and it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, but certainly looking for everybody to come on by. Again, by the way, Bub, I want to remind folks that on Monday night, we're going to have a very special live event. I know Matt and Kyle are going to be virtual with us, but we're going to be at Overtime Grill and Bar, and that's in Birmingham, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock. So you go to the pep rally. 5:30 to 6, there's fireworks after that. Come on by, right? Drive over to the bar.
Yeah, definitely. I look forward to hopefully seeing several Pirates out there. Like you mentioned, at the Overtime Grill and Bar. I want to say it's about 9 or 10 miles from Protective Stadium. But yep. We'll have that address for you, and we'll have a graphic on the screen before the end of the show, and we'll have that address on our social media.
No doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, we'll see if we can have some guests for you working on that behind the scenes. But if nothing else, we certainly will have a show and a lot of great Pirates meeting up and Pirate beverages. If you don't drink Pirate beverages, that's okay. I'd love to have you out. Again, that's Overtime Grill and Bar, and that's in Birmingham. So check that out. Well, again, like Bubba said, we have a graphic. We'll put that up on the screen here very soon. Put your questions and comments on Facebook Live, and of course, YouTube. You can put that up in the comment section, and we'll get those questions. And maybe if you have a comment, we'll put that up as well. It's a great night. Obviously, our bowl coverage we got a lot of stuff between now and next Tuesday. So a lot of fun. In fact, I checked my tickets out, guys, and section 104 is where we're going to be sitting. So I'm really stoked. And if you're looking at the picture behind me, that's the press box side, is where East Carolina is going to be sitting. So hopefully, if you haven't got your tickets yet, get your tickets, because I think we're at 1,200 now. We talked about that last night. So we'd love for a lot of folks to get their tickets. And I don't know how many tickets overall has been sold for Pirate Nation. We're not 100% sure, but we'd love for everybody a big crowd to maybe there's a late push that you can do that. And Bubba, can you still get tickets through the school? Is that the last?
Yes. You can still order tickets through ecupirates.com or by calling 1-800-ECU. Coleman Spain told me that yesterday. I'll try to confirm by him here in the next few minutes on when the cutoff is, but he told me that updated number is, for like you were mentioning, as far as 1200 or a little over 1200 that has been sold directly through East Carolina. But he did just say that you can still order through the ECU ticket office.
Awesome. Coleman's a great dude and friend of the show. Appreciate his hard work. And by the way, baseball related, I know we're doing our bowl show, a Pirate preview, but don't forget to get your tickets for baseball. They have jungle tickets is all they have left for season tickets. Not there. There's anything wrong with that. I love the jungle. But if you're looking for seats, the season tickets sold out quickly. So make sure that you get your tickets. And like Bubba mentioned last night, you'll still be able to get single tickets, game tickets, but not season tickets if you wait. But while wait, go ahead and support the program. And again, as you mentioned, ecupirates.com or 1-800-ECU. And I know, Bubba, there's a big game tomorrow night. Part of our Pirate preview, you interviewed Gigi Smith, the head coach of High Point, earlier.
Yeah, I did have the chance to catch up with Gigi Smith, the head coach of the High Point Panthers. Before we get to that, though, since you brought up baseball, Dave,
yep.
The 2023 collegiate baseball poll that was released today, the Pirates come in at 20th There you see LSU is number one. Florida, despite their struggles in recent years, the Gators are second. And then you see Texas A&M at fourth. The Vols did not make it to Omaha last year, got upset by Notre Dame in the Super Regional there in Knoxville. But so that gives you four SEC teams in the top five, with Stanford being the exception. And Stanford and East Carolina have something in common because the two of our programs are the ones that have the longest streak as far as hosting regionals at our respective stadiums. So there you see, obviously, the Pirates are going to be playing a three-game series against the North Carolina Tar Heels. The Tar Heels come in at 11th. You also have you see Southern Miss, they're of note, are now in the Sun Belt, and the Golden Eagles, 18th. You have the Texas Longhorns, who the Pirates, of course, fell to in the Super Regional, coming in at 25th.
Yeah, Bubba, you had to bring that up. no, I'm kidding. Yeah, five straight regionals. How about that, Bubba? Five straight from 18 to the present. So, and that's going on. I guess
Four.
Four straight. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, because 2020 was canceled, of course. But yeah, that's a great great feat for the Pirates, and of course with Cliff Godwin. And
yeah, you've heard Cliff say time and again, you know, how good that 2017 disastrous season was for us, where we did not make the NCAA tournament. We finished last in the regular season, nearly won the tournament, but he truly believed, and it's easy to see why in retrospect, that was so good for our program. Look at how good we've been since then, hosting regionals every year, and been to three straight super regionals in 2019, 21, and 22. And on the doorstep of Omaha last year.
And Bubba, off the top of my head, I know that we went to many times. We went to regionals, but not hosting regionals. In fact, is that off the top of my head? That's got to be a record for us, four in a row, right? Or not?
I'm sorry. Did you say as far as
hosting regionals?
Hosting regionals. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you think about it. As far as hosting regionals, that's undoubtedly a record.
Yeah,
because prior to that, prior to 2018, you had not hosted since 2009.
Right.
And then prior to 2009, you had not hosted since 2004.
Yep.
And then obviously you hosted in 2001 at Fleming Stadium. For the regional. So that run, 2018 and then 2019, those were the first times we had hosted consecutively. You would have had we had the facility to host, you could have had such a run back in 99, 2000, and 2001, but obviously that wasn't the case because of not having a facility and then not putting in a bid to host at a Fleming Stadium or a Granger Stadium.
Yeah, and that's what really sparked the interest of getting what we have now. What a great baseball field. What a great venue. A lot of the people we've had on that are baseball experts, talking heads, if you will, journalists, they say Clark LeClaire has an SEC field. And if they say it, then we'll take their word for it. Matt, I don't know if Matt's with us at the moment, but are you there, bro? We lost him or not. I can't hear you, Matt, if you're...
Yeah, he's not on mute, but Matt, try signing out and back in. There you go. Thus far, we're about, I think, 11 bowl games in now.
Yep.
Idaho Potato Bowl today, you had Eastern Michigan falling behind San Jose State 13-0, and then the Eagles, led by Chris Creighton. I know Kyle was likely tuned into that one. I know he's a big fan of Chris Creighton and everything he's done there in Ypsilanti. But the Eagles scored 30 unanswered and went on to a 41-27 victory on the Smurf turf out there in Boise.
That's crazy. Was that crazy or what? I mean, we had that, and man, we have a bowl like pick'em situation going on. That's all I'm going to say. And I don't know about you, Bubba, but I picked San Jose State. So sorry, Chris Creighton. I do like you as a coach, but I just felt like San Jose State would be the winner.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Eastern Michigan won. I, like you, took the Spartans to cover the 4.5. I thought it would be a close ball game, and they'd probably win by a touchdown or so. But, yeah, and not really a dog in the fight other than who I picked. So it doesn't break my heart other than get my pick wrong to see Eastern Michigan and Scott Weatherby. So I guess kind of I did have a dog in the fight with Scott Weatherby there. You know, I like to see Eastern Michigan do well with Scott Weatherby there, leading that athletics program. But they finished the season 9-4. Great to see them take another step forward. I think the best they had done was, I want to say, 7 wins. They've been 7-5 or 7-6 a few times under Chris Creighton. And this year they took it up to 9 wins. So another step forward for that program that had really struggled prior to his arrival.
No doubt. And he's done, in fact, we talked about that with Scott Weatherby. So no surprise that they don't have the facilities when you're, you know, not too far away from Ann Arbor and you have the University of Michigan, right? And not necessarily, I don't know how exactly close it is, but it's close enough and too close for comfort, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I think it's a situation that's like Duke, North Carolina, where it's yeah, I'll double check this, but I don't think they're more than 10 miles or so apart. At the most, 15 or 20, but I don't even think it's that far.
And that's right, because when we talk to him, I think he's going to try to come to the Big House game when we're up there in September, for Labor Day.
Right, and they have a
Friday night game, right?
They have a Friday night game against someone.
Yeah, maybe we can go to that, but that's going to be a lot of fun. Catching up with Scott Weatherby, who is a great Pirate, and of course, I know he's up there with Eastern Michigan. Congratulations to them. That's what, you know, Bubba, I was going to say when I was today when I saw about that score and you texted us, I was like, that's what makes these bowls so great. It's the exact same thing when you're filling out a bracket for March Madness and your bracket is all messed up. The same thing today, like time, game after game, just when you think you've got it figured out, like who's going to win in your predictions and you have a situation like that.
Yep. To answer our question, Dave, from Eastern Michigan's campus to the Big House is 6.5 miles.
Oh man.
They're even closer than North Carolina and Duke.
Yes, yeah, by 8 miles difference. Oh my gosh. No wonder. I understand. That's even a bigger feat for them to have 8 wins when you have and literally in your backyard you have the Big House. So ladies and gentlemen, it's Matt Semenza, Semenza style.
All right, guys. Sorry, I'm having some crazy technical difficulties tonight. So
you need to drink more Matty Ice.
Yeah, absolutely. I could use one right now.
Matt.
My link is cutting out on me tonight, but hopefully you guys can hear me okay.
Yep, got you loud and clear now. Matt, Dave, and I were just talking about the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Eastern Michigan getting that 41-27 win over San Jose State out on the blue turf in Boise. Did you have a chance to see any of that game?
You know what? I didn't get to see any of it whatsoever, but, you know, definitely impressed with Eastern Michigan. They can score points, explosive offense, and, you know, unfortunately I had to miss that. Just didn't get home in time for it.
That's this thing called work. It's so overrated, right, Matt?
Oh, absolutely. Completely overrated.
Now, but Matt.
Yeah, go ahead, Bubba.
Out of the first 10 bowl games, you know, what were some of the storylines and things that caught your eye and memorable games or performances within the game?
Well, I had a personal interest to see how UConn would match up with Marshall. Just really interested in the job that Jim Mora Jr. has done this year. We've talked about it quite a bit on this show, but he's done a tremendous job to get that team bowl eligible. So I was hoping that they would be able to you know, be competitive, possibly get a win. Didn't really go that way. I thought Marshall was the far superior team there. So I did have an interest in that. And then how about Fresno, guys? Another one, you know, Fresno taking care of business in a big way. I think that jumped out to me as well. And then finally, BYU. I was happy to see BYU get that win over SMU. And I thought their defense played outstanding.
You know, question about it. Guys, help me out. I still haven't seen the play, but I watched that whole game with Troy and UTSA. And I know you guys literally, I was at my Christmas party for work, right? And on Friday night in Greenville, and I turned away from the television just to talk to, of course, I'm going to be social with my coworkers, right? And literally I missed what happened on that fourth and goal play that you guys were talking about, because that when I looked back up, it was a commercial break, and then they came back and I noticed, I was like, man, Troy has the ball back. So I literally, that was a disappointing game for me, because I really thought that I just really like the Roadrunners. Glad they're coming to our conference, and in one respect for the conference, but not for East Carolina as an opponent. But anyway, I was just wondering what happened.
Yeah. The story of that specific situation, it was fourth and goal, 3-yard line, 4-yard line, and they threw a fade route to the left corner of the end zone and just threw incomplete. I just didn't think it was the best call in that situation. You have a mobile quarterback. I think maybe he was perhaps banged up a little bit, but even so, I think they could have found a higher percentage play to go to. It's very, very tough catch for the receiver, attempted catch. And the story of that game was UTSA turned the football over 5 times, in addition to that time where they turned it over on downs at the 3-yard line, and lost 18-12 on defensive struggle. The crazy thing is, Troy in that game only had, I don't even think they had 200 yards of offense. They had somewhere maybe 175 yards of offense. But when you force 5 turnovers and then you get another stop in the red zone, like I mentioned, inside the 5-yard line, then you can win with little offense. And another one of those stops, and that was one of those 5 turnovers, was a pick inside the 5-yard line that got run back about 60 or 70 yards to set up a good situation for the Trojan offense. So definitely, you know, kind of a heavyweight fight there in Orlando. But that game was initially, you know, several years ago when it came into existence at the Citrus Bowl, or, you know, Camping World Stadium. Now it's played at the whatever the stadium where the Major League Soccer team plays there in Orlando.
Yeah, I tell you what. I've been, Matt, I don't know about you guys, I've talked about this last week. I'm so excited about the bowls because we are in a bowl game and we're going to be bowling in Birmingham, as it says at the top of the screen, the great overlay, thanks to the whiz of our show, and that would be Bubba Rosenbaum, the Oz, if you will. Matt, as far as opting out, and I know we could talk about it, ad nauseum about that. I've just think about like our game. We have some situations with people on East Carolina for various reasons that are not playing the game. And then we have the situation with Grayson McCall. I'm just frustrated with the sport. I think we're going to have to come up with something. And I don't know what that is, or I would be on something besides this show. No offense to us, but I'm just frustrated with the whole opting out thing. I know I'm old school. I understand somewhat why you do it. But most of these cats, they're talking about going to the NFL. And I'm not knocking them. If you feel like you can go for your dreams. But don't you think, Matt, that the percentage of these guys that are actually going to make the NFL are so slim, you're better off playing the bowl game to have a chance to increase your stock, or at least be a unsigned free agent?
Yeah, I get very frustrated with it, Dave. I'm really frustrated with the entire state of college football right now. I mean, things are just so out of control. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I can recall a time, and I'm being a little sarcastic, not that I'm like 100 years old, but I can recall a time when SMU got the death penalty for far less than what's happening in college football right now. And between the opt-outs guys, the portal. I read a report today that there were two schools that offered the quarterback of North Carolina $5 million each. Now I don't know if that's been verified or, you know, you read a lot of things out there, but I did see a report on that today. And the type of money that's going around, and just, you just feel like the sport is out of control. And you hate to see it, because this was the greatest sport we had in this country, in my opinion, college football. And you hate to see it going down this path. But in terms of the opt-outs, Dave, I don't like it. Call me old school, call me old fashioned. I would not bail on my team before a bowl game. I wouldn't do it. So yeah, I don't like it. Now, Coastal, they can opt out all they want, in my opinion. But hopefully we don't see any more with East Carolina, which I don't think we will at this point. I think we're set.
Yeah, and again, most of these players are going to be playing. They want to play and all that. But, you know, if I'm playing Monopoly, a board game, video game, whatever the case may be, a backyard basketball game, pickup game, I'm competitive. I want to win. And I just don't understand why you can say to yourself that you're a competitor and that you want to win. And the other thing that comes to mind, guys, I tell my team at work all the time, is no one person, as we've heard many, many years, is bigger than the team. But I think when you opt out, you're saying that you're bigger than the team. And that's just one of my things. Again, great that you're going for the NFL, but that should be, if you're, for example, if you're going to skip your senior season, great, no worries there. But there's got to be some kind of accountability. There's got to be something that has to be done, because it's really right now the Wild, Wild West. And everybody can say that once it's out, and I get it, that you say you can't reel it back in, but they're going to have to do something, because if not, you know, if, hey, Matt and Bubba, they're trying to make it a pro sport. So if you're going to make it a pro sport, there's a thing called, I don't know, wait for it, tampering. And that's just one thing that I think that the Pirates, maybe I sound, I know that Kyle hates the term sour grapes, but there's just a lot of stuff like that where we think we have a player, and it's even worse now with NIL. I mean, Avery Jones gets $25,000, and he's going to Champaign, Illinois to play for the Illini, Fighting Illini. But that's fine if he wants to do that. And another thing that I'll add to you guys is that,
can I just comment on that really quick? So that's what Avery Jones got, $25,000 to go to
Champaign?
That's
what I heard, yeah.
So, you know, I guess when you're in college, that might seem like a lot of money. By the time you take taxes out of that, yep, move across the country, it's really not that much money, guys. And I just, hopefully it's worth it for Avery. I think there might have been more to that story. Hopefully it wasn't just $25,000. That was the draw for him out to Champaign. But, you know, hey, it's like, it is crazy times. But
maybe that was bonus money. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're in college, you probably think that's going to, you know, do a lot for you. But it's by the time you take the taxes out, it's not that much money.
And the cost of living in Champaign has got to be more than Greenville, North Carolina, wouldn't you think?
I would think so off the top of my head, but I'm just not sure, to be honest with you.
It's cheap in Connecticut to live. That's what I was told. But
maybe. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, California, the most expensive in the country, guys.
There's no rich folks in Connecticut. It's so blue collar. There's no taxes up there is what I heard, but I don't know.
I wish.
Yes, sir. Well, one of these days we want to get to the Simmons down here. I don't know when that'll be, but maybe what we should do is tell the governor, different folks that are increase the taxes, all the local taxes, property taxes, so the Simmons will come to Greenville. That's what we want to do. So maybe one day that'll happen. I know Robert was trying to chime in, Bubba. We haven't gone to him yet.
Yeah, we have a few folks chiming in on Justin. Facebook as well as YouTube. Before we get to Robert's question, Justin Butts a few minutes ago said, "Evening, gents." He just booked his flight leaving Monday from RDU, 9 a.m. Hopes to see some fellow Pirates in Birmingham. Justin, I think you may have been watching it this time, but join us on Monday night, 8 o'clock, or, you know, a little before 8 o'clock, yep, at Overtime Grill and Bar. We'll provide that address for you again before the show's over, as well as put it on our social media.
Yeah, I'd love to have you, Justin, and a lot of great Pirates there. In fact, they hold 100 people there. We got a place, a venue that's not too big, so that way our Pirates, we're going to show out. We're going to show them what Pirate Nation's all about. I just have a feeling.
And then Robert Dedrick says some kids are not getting paid all the money they've been promised. Texas A&M, for example. That's not surprising, but I had not read anything about that specifically. Had you guys?
No, and that's, to me, right now on my radar, I'll just say this, and you guys have heard me. I call him Jumbo. I'm not a fan of Jumbo Fisher. I think Jumbo is, like, overrated as a coach. And I think you want to talk about a fan base. I don't feel sorry for them because they're getting a lot of money in the SEC, and they have a lot of money, and that being Texas A&M. But, man, they were sold a bill of goods. 10 years, $7.5 million. Do you guys think my understanding is his record is similar to that of Kevin Sumlin, and they paid Sumlin a lot less money. I know he won a national championship but at FSU. But, man, I don't think we don't have to dwell on that, obviously. But I don't think Jimbo Fisher's getting it done there at College Station.
No, I would definitely pretty obvious at this point. It's going to be interesting to see how things go moving forward for the Aggies in 2023 and whether he's able to win enough games to be retained beyond 2023. Right now, we do have another bowl game taking place, and that being the Boca Raton Bowl down at FAU Stadium. The Liberty Flames playing their first game without Hugh Freeze are winning 7-0 against the Toledo Rockets with 11 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, that's interesting there with Jamie Chadwell going there to Liberty, and who will be will Grayson McCall go up there after this game? Coach Staggs was even talking about last week, Matt, if you remember, about the fact that Grayson McCall, they're still they're recruiting him there. That's what's so weird about the transfer portal. You're recruiting a guy that's been the player of the year for the whole conference of the Sun Belt, and you're recruiting a guy that's right there on campus. It's like Holton Ahlers. Like, it would be like for us, Holton Ahlers, he doesn't have another year, I know, but like, say, like last year, we pretty much knew he wasn't going anywhere, that he would just quit football. It wasn't a matter of going to another university.
Well, guys, there's a player on Oregon that just got like his 10th year of eligibility granted. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'll put that up on the screen here in a moment when I get the screenshot. That's that was a unique story, to say the least.
Yeah, unbelievable. But going back to McCall, guys, I mean, first of all, if you're a player for Liberty right now, this is really your audition for Hugh Freeze. I mean, this is your audition. You want to make a good impression. You want to, put a good performance out there. That's going to be on. It's going to be on film. So you have a lot to play for as a player. And then, just in terms of McCall, I would be shocked if he went back to Coastal. I mean, just when you look at the type of money being thrown around right now, he's a guy that can fit at so many schools. I mean, I think he would be a great fit at Florida right now.
East Carolina.
For the Gators, I love him at East Carolina. I mean, he's a tough player. I don't like him this week, but I'll like him after that. But it is just crazy times, fellas.
No doubt. In fact, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw, and I know Matt, you work for a living, so does Bubba. Devin Leary of NC State transferring to Kentucky. You know, everybody talks about Kentucky being a basketball school. But with Stoops, Mark Stoops has done an excellent job, and talk about a coach that they've stuck with, and what a great job they're doing there in Lexington in football. And to get Devin Leary in the SEC, I think that's going to be a nice fit for that bunch there with the Wildcats.
Yeah, obviously they have.
I don't know what. Can you hear me?
I got you, Dave. Yeah, it sounded like Bubba was about to talk there and cut out, but they have done a great job, Dave. I mean, they were able to pick up Will Levis,
from Penn State and get two great years out of him. And now you go back to the portal and you bring in Leary, who, you know, by all accounts has an NFL arm. And hey, let's face it. If he didn't go down this year for NC State, their season would have been drastically different.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, you know, people, a lot of people said, well, you know, hey, NC State, you know, they were just overrated. You know, they were underachievers. And, you know, I think when he went down, when you lose a quarterback of that caliber, it just changes the whole complexion of your team. And that's what happened with them this year. So he's definitely I could see good things from him in Lexington.
No question about it. It'll be interesting to see how he does, like I said, in the SEC. But I think he's got the talent for sure. Or they're smart. They know what they're doing, or they wouldn't have picked him. Are you guys getting ready for Christmas? What's going on there? I know, Bubba, we're going to try to do a show, I think, a Christmas show, and to plug that too before I forget on Thursday, right?
Yeah, we will. Tomorrow night, Pirate Basketball Overtime after what should be a very entertaining and challenging game with the High Point Panthers, 6 o'clock tip off. So in the Greenville area, you're Raleigh East, and within an hour, hour and a half of Greenville, get out and support this team on this playing some pretty good basketball, 8-4, playing its final non-conference game before beginning league play against the Temple Owls.
No doubt. By the way, if you want to put your questions and comments, Facebook Live or YouTube, then go ahead and do so. I'd love to get your thoughts on if you want to talk about the bowl, if you want to talk about, by the way, signing day. Hard to believe, guys, it's tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, can I just go back for 1 second, Dave? Chris, I have a gripe right now about Christmas. Okay. I have a gripe. You know, first of all, you have a million Christmas songs out there. They play the same three over and over, which annoys the hell out of me. Don't give me George Michael. Don't give me Paul McCartney. Don't give me Mariah Carey. Give me something original, please. And then the same thing. You have 100 Christmas movies that are great. They give you Elf and typically The Christmas Story and then Christmas Vacation. They give you those three every night of the week. And they're great movies, but we need to mix it up a little bit. So that's my rant. I mean, you know, you can go with the classics. A lot of great black and white Christmas movies, Christmas Carol from 1954, I think. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, but they just, you know, very, very unoriginal, guys. Very unoriginal.
You want some Hallmark movies?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't really typically watch the Hallmark, you know. I'll tell you a good underrated one is The Family Man. Great movie.
This one?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I hadn't seen that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Scrooged, I love with Bill Murray. What else? Those are some that are kind of like offbeat, kind of like off the path ones you don't expect people to like. I know for me, by the way, I know that Matt and Kyle, I can't remember if Bubba had a scene, but the new Christmas story, the Christmas story Christmas that's on HBO Max is really good. I was totally floored about we watched it last weekend with the kids on Friday night and Saturday. It was really good. I did not expect it to be. They've had some people say stinkers, some really bad sequels to one of the best Christmas movies ever. And what did you guys think? Matt, you liked it, didn't you?
I thought it was great. You know, I like how they had the original cast. You could tell they put a lot of thought into the script. And, you know, they had the original house from when Ralphie was a kid.
Yeah.
And I my favorite part was with the, you know, a little twist with Scott Farkas, how he was the town sheriff or the town sheriff, right?
Like a police
officer. Yeah. So that was great. I enjoyed that.
Bubba, have you seen that yet? The Christmas Story Christmas?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I like the, I liked it. So I'm glad that I was relieved after I saw that. Cause as I said, it was really bad. What about, let's see, off the top of my head, White Christmas is great. Bing Crosby. You have, also I love Miracle on 34th Street. I'm a big fan of that movie, the original. Well, both are good, but the original is the best, of course. And It's a Wonderful Life. Do you guys think it's overrated? I'm a huge fan of that.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life is a classic. I love that movie. I typically watch it on New Year's a lot. It seems to be on. But great movie. That's definitely like, you know, a top holiday movie for me.
And hey, by the way, Justin Butts wants to know, what do you call the first truck, Bustin? Justin, what, help me out.
Queen Anne.
That's right. So Queen Anne is the first. What are we going to name the second truck? What do you guys think? So we have Queen Anne for the first one. We'll have to come up with, we'll have to think that you put me on the spot, Justin. I wasn't, we were talking Christmas, so my mind was literally on Christmas with Christmas songs, movies. We'll talk more about it. That's a great tease for Thursday night, thanks to Matt. And Matt, I send you a long distance dedication. But I don't think Bubba knows about that. But I sent Matt a long distance dedication to his favorite Christmas song. So I hope you enjoy that, pal. I'm glad that I don't live in the same house with you. I've got a buffer of like several, like what, 13 hours or more.
When I hear that song, Dave, is this the Paul McCartney Christmas song? Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah, you need to play it. Yeah.
When I hear it, something happens. I want to take the, you know, the radio or whatever it is and smash it off the wall. Just like Jeff Connors. Jeff Connors, one time we played Southern Mississippi, took the VCR and smashed it off the wall. And I want to do that whenever I hear that Paul McCartney song, Dave.
Like with Elvis, you want to, I don't think it was really true, but they had years ago, they said that Elvis shot the television. You know, you should, instead of shooting the television, you shoot the radio or whatever. I don't know how you listen. You don't want to mess up your nice phone.
Exactly.
Expensive computer, I guess, but these TVs are so cheap now that you could probably shoot a television and throw it out the window. And I used to love that with Letterman. He used to throw out from the top of Rockefeller Plaza. He used to take televisions and throw them off the top of it. Maybe you could do that. Like Paul McCartney.
I would do that for sure.
What is that? Is that the worst Christmas song for you?
In my opinion, that's it's horrible. Absolutely horrendous effort by a Beatle, a guy who had a great career. For him to put that kind of music out there is just an embarrassment.
So you love Paul McCartney, you just don't like the song.
I don't love Paul McCartney. I like the Beatles. You know, they had some good stuff, but that song is just a disgrace.
All right. But again, it's not one of my favorites, and we'll talk about our favorites coming up on again. Thursday night is our Christmas show, so hopefully we can get Matt back on and we can just play that song over and over and over again. Well, we won't participation from Matt, I guess they'll just sign out, but but we'll have fun on Thursday night with our Christmas show as we get you ready for the holiday. Hard to believe it's just a few days away. And for Christmas, I want a bowl win. I want our eighth win. I want a bowl win. And guys, we haven't, you know, with people that are talking about, you know, oh my gosh, it's in Birmingham. Well, the schedule, I understand, with December 27th is tough for a lot of folks that have to go back to work on Monday on the 26th or the 27th. But we haven't won a bowl game in 10 years, 9 years rather, 8 years for an 8-win season. So we've got a lot to play for, and a lot of people, I hope, will come down to Birmingham or at least watch it, and that would be fantastic. A lot to play for this bowl game.
Yeah, I think it's probably a pretty vocal minority, but these folks that say
Bubba Shaman. Yeah, we lost.
I think they need to reassess some things, and because it means a ton. Getting an eighth win, like you said, for the first time since 2014, winning a bowl game for the first time since 2013, and winning a bowl game for just the third time in this century. I think a lot of people.
You're cutting in and out of Bubba. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
I'll just jump in there for Bubba since he's cutting out. But I agree with his point. I mean, this is an important game. And for me, the storyline that I'm really looking at is the defense. I want to see the defense kind of get back to playing respectable football, which they have done. you know, under Blake Harrell since he's been here. I think he's done a tremendous job. Not really sure what's happened the last few weeks, you know, whether it's just, you know, guys were banged up, you know, people had a really good game plan against us. And whatever it is, I want to see the defense get back to playing respectable football, Dave. And that's something that's really important. You don't want to go into an offseason with three straight bad defensive performances.
No, you don't. And I think with the time, I think some of it was they're banged up. And I think that's one great thing that we had a little period there where you can practice and you get refocused. So did Coastal Carolina. I know they have too. But I think there's going to be ability that we have that there's a lot of uncertainty with Coastal Carolina. I'm not taking them for granted, but I think the Pirates are going to be fired up. I think they're going to be motivated. You think about Holton Ahlers, and hopefully we can talk about more. But I want to see Mason Garcia play some. I'm not trying to start any like thing there, but I really want to see him get some reps and for the bowl game. And I hope that we can get the waiver to play in week zero against Gardner Webb. And then, Matt, are you going to commit to us? I know it's a long ways away, but are you going to commit to us on going to the Big House on, I think, September 3rd for Labor Day for 2023?
That's definitely one I have marked down, guys. I really want to get out there. I mean, that's a bucket list type game, bucket list type trip. So, I actually really need to jump on it because I heard some people talking about how hard it is to find a place to stay. And people were getting, you know, people were booking Airbnbs like 20 miles away at this point because there's, you know, it books up fast in those towns.
Wow.
Guys, going back to our game, I'm going to go back and do some more film study just to see how folks have played Coastal over this year, as well as in maybe even in previous years. But with the triple option element of their offense, I just thought about this, Matt, because you were talking about wanting to see a much improved defensive effort from the last two times out. And it'll be interesting to see how we do play after this 4-week break. Nothing but practicing and so forth, and getting some guys healthy. But with a triple option element to their offense, it'll be interesting to see how much we play some man coverage.
Hey Matt, you got to come to the bowl. Do you see that? We got breaking news here. Justin Butts, look at this, Matt, for you. Matt, if you come, I'll let you drive the truck. How about that, man? Come on. Matt, you got to come to the bowl.
That sounds good, Justin. Can you pick me up, though? Can you pick me up? I'm a little. I don't have a flight down there, but that sounds. I would love to drive the truck.
That would be That would be killer, man, to see Matt drive up the. I guess is that going to be the second? So the band, I think it's the band equipment is what you're going to be driving, Matt. But that would be so killer to. Just make sure you don't drink any Matty Ice. You can't do that. But make it work.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate that, man.
I appreciate the confidence he has in you, Matt. You don't have your CDLs, do you?
That's all right. We'll make it work. We'll just work around that.
Okay. Would you stop at any of the truck stops, Matt?
No. I'd probably avoid that. I take it for a little joyride first and then get to the game.
If you do, Matt, when you do stop at a truck stop, you know, keep your composure. Don't lose your cool if a salt shaker hits you in the shoulder.
What in the world? I'm missing out on that one.
Dumb and Dumber when Seabass gets hit in the shoulder.
Yeah, okay. God, yeah, I love that movie, and I haven't seen it in so forever. So forgive me, like I've probably forgotten more of that movie than I should, but I love the original. I think it's fantastic.
And Matt, don't wear a hat like Seabass, and Christy will kill you.
Oh, here's
no doubt.
See that? So I found out it's the players' luggage as well. So the second truck will leave at half. So when the players get back, they can leave straight home. Okay, so they would be able to do that, so they can go back and. They'll be able to go straight to their. Is that when you say home, Justin? Is that to they're
a lot of players leave directly from the bowl game to go home, because I know I remember Chandler Honeycutt of Pirate Radio, you know, telling a story back in 2014, I believe it was. I think it was him. He or somebody was talking about seeing Shane Carden at the airport after the game. And I know on my drive back, somewhere there between Birmingham and Atlanta, we'd stopped to get some gas and use the restroom. And while in the convenience store, we saw Chris Hairston, who was obviously a running back on that team. So a lot of guys do travel back with their families.
No doubt. That'll be a lot of fun. We have the G.G. Smith interview. Of course, Pirates are playing tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So make sure you make sure you don't show up at 7. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. $8 tickets, Lower Bowl. Bubba, I wish you could come to that game. It's going to be so much fun. And it's going to be, for me, right after work. In fact, I'm going to pitch it to you, Bubba, as we're getting ready for that great interview.
Yeah, earlier today, had the chance to catch up with High Point's first-year head coach, G.G. Smith. Came to High Point several years ago on his father's staff after having spent 5 years as the head coach at Loyola in Maryland. And spent about 10 or 11 minutes with G.G. talking about his ball club and the matchup with Mike Schwartz and the Pirates. And let's go to that conversation with G.G. Smith right now.
It's hard to believe, but the non-conference season has come and gone for East Carolina basketball. The Pirates will be playing their final non-conference game on Wednesday night when the High Point Panthers visit Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum for what will be a 6 p.m. tip-off. Right now, to preview that matchup, very excited to be joined by the High Point head coach, G.G. Smith. G.G., we appreciate your time this morning.
How you doing? Good morning.
Yes, sir. You know, before we dive into this ball club specifically and what you have going on there at High Point, I wanted to take a quick trip down memory lane, I guess back to my high school years. I remember when you were playing for the Georgia Bulldogs, and you guys were ranked 23rd and came to Menchie's, and that was a heck of a game that night. More so for the Bulldogs and Pirate fans, but that was a tremendous finish. What are your memories of that one, 55-54 Georgia?
Yeah, if I remember right, was that back when Coach Dooley was there the first time?
It was.
I remember that game. I was like, you know, first of all, I was like, man, why do we have to come to East Carolina to come play? I was like, we got to go to Greenville to play at East Carolina. Pirates, man, I remember it was close. I remember the crowd was ecstatic. It was loud. I mean, it was a close one. We were lucky to get out there with the win. We had a really good team that year at Georgia. And I just remember it being extremely loud at that place, and it was a great venue to play in.
I remember your dad, I guess, he moved on to the University of Kentucky. Coach Gerso was coaching you guys, and when Jermaine Jones, he got a lot of the headlines.
Yeah, Jermaine Jones was a heck of a player. He went on to the NBA. I think they did a great – I forgot who was guarding at the time, but, like, they did a great job of just, you know, taking things away from us, and we were just fortunate to get out of there with a win.
And then, of course, the game ended very anticlimactically for the Pirate fans. Body Oliver was fouled on a 3-point attempt by Rafael Edwards.
Yep. I think he would even make like 2 out of 3 or something like that. Or I don't remember.
I think
right.
The game was, if I recall correctly, I want to say that the game was tied and then he just had to make the first one. So we were in a situation where we had to see him miss all three. But
it was a good game. Good game. Ahead. It was a great game. Body Oliver, I was just crazy. He's talking about Body Oliver. I was just on the phone with him the other day, actually, too. He's coaching down in Southern Florida, and I'll bring it up to him next time I talk to him, too, about that 3-pointer that he got fouled on.
What school is he at now?
He's down at a high school. I think it's Suncoast High School down there near West Palm Beach. He's from around that area. So he's like an assistant coach down there teaching.
Gotcha. Fast forwarding to present, Coach, you obviously had a 5-year stint as the head coach at Loyola University in Maryland prior to joining your dad's staff at High Point back in May of 2017. So just talk about, what you learned from that first experience as a head coach and then, combining that with some of the things you've learned from your dad as well as the other coaches and, how things maybe are a little bit different this second time around as a head coach.
Well, you know, I always appreciate the opportunity of coaching again. A lot of coaches don't get a second chance. I was actually fortunate, happy for the opportunity at Loyola, Maryland. We had 5 great years. Obviously, you didn't win as much as you wanted to, but it was a great experience. We played in a very tough league, in the Patriot League. But you know, this time around, you know, you don't do everything's too much differently. You know, I just thought back at Loyola, Maryland, I just didn't think, you know, we really scored the ball really well. And I promised myself if I ever got a head coaching job that we were going to be a scoring team. We were going to score a lot of points. And we're doing a good job so far that this year. We just got to just tighten up on the defensive end. I mean, I grew up a defensive guy. Obviously, my dad, I learned all that, his ball line defense, the defensive principles, you know, always be a good rebounding team. But I just thought, you know, this time around, I just want to open up the offense a little bit more and just play a little faster. And you know, obviously, we're not guarding as well as I would like to. We're giving up more points than I like to, but hopefully it'll prep us come league play.
Yeah, you talk about the way this team is scoring 85-plus points per game, most recently 82 and an 85-82 loss down at Trask Coliseum the other night. But tell us about your ball club offensively. One of the things that jumped out as I was looking through the numbers, you have 3 guys led by 6'4 junior guard Jaden House that are averaging anywhere from 14.5 to 21.5 per game.
Well, you know, I think at this level, you got to have like a big 3. And I think Jaden House, he's our leading scorer. He's coming off a pretty good sophomore season. I think this year he's really taking ownership. He really wanted to, you know, show off his skills. And he's a big-time scorer. He's a bully. He gets to the rim. He's powerful. He's strong. He can score at all 3 levels. And I'm fortunate that he's off to a great start this season. And then, obviously, Zach Olsen, who, you know, was preseason first team all Big South. He's having another solid year. And then the guy that really surprised us was Abdullah Thien, the transfer from Minnesota. He's a kid that can really shoot the ball. And I think those 3 guys, you know, one thing they all can do, they can all score. Zach's a great rebounder. Abdullah's a really good spot shooter. So those 3 guys have really been good for us, and they can all score the ball.
Yeah, what Abdullah, I think he's what, mid-40s from 3?
Yeah, he's shooting right. We have right about 43-44% from the 3-point. And our top 5 to 6 guys are all shooting about 45% from the field. So offensively, we can really score the ball. I think that's something that I'm not really worried about. I'm just worried about us defensively. I just think we just need to tighten up a little bit on the defensive end. I think we can play a little harder. We can give a little better effort, a better championship effort on the defensive end. And that's something we've been really working on over the break. And hopefully it'll help us come Big South play.
With the way you guys are scoring, talk about going against the East Carolina defense. It's definitely a work in progress, but Mike Schwartz, first year East Carolina coach, is well known for what he's done on the defensive side of the ball, specifically at the University of Tennessee most recently. So talk about what you've seen out of the Pirates on that side.
Well, they're scary because I think they're really good defensively. I thought early on in the year, I didn't think they were playing well to start the season, but lately I think they really are starting to bind what Coach Schwartz is doing, especially on the defensive end. So I'm really worried of how we're going to score. Because I think, you know, UNCW, and when we played UNLV a few weeks ago, those are the 2 best defensive teams we faced all year. And I think East Carolina is just as good as those defensive teams. So we're going to have to do a better job. We're going to have to, you know, be strong with the ball. We have to meet passes. We're going to have to cut hard to the basket. We're going to have to be aggressive. We just can't settle. We have to continue to run our offense, you know, get the ball inside like we do, and we have to run. The last game against UNCW, I thought they really took us out of our pace. Really, we weren't playing fast until midway through the second half when we finally got back in the game. But we just got to control the tempo. We're a great offensive team. They're a really good defensive team. So something's got to give, and it should be a great matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, I noticed in that UNC-Wilmington game, as you mentioned, with about 13.5 minutes to play, and you trailed by 22, but you got it down to a 2-possession ball game on a few occasions there in the final minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were able to finally get some stops. We finally made some shots there, and we ended up cutting it to like 5 or 6, and we just, you know, a little bit too late. You know, we just didn't really go up to a great start to the game. So that's something we have to do, especially when you're going on the road, you play in these hostile environments. You have to get off to a great start, and that's going to be one of the biggest keys to the game tomorrow.
You talk about wanting to see more from your ball club on the defensive end. And what have you seen from East Carolina offensively? There were so many unknowns coming into the year. You really didn't know where the points were going to come from, especially, you know, for those like us outside the program that had not had a chance to see the guys practice that much. And you have a guy like Javon Small who stepped up, averaging close to 20 points a game. Yeah. And then Brandon Johnson, Ezra Assar, et cetera.
Yeah, I remember watching Ezra Assar in high school down in Liberty Heights. He's a bully. He's a big dude. But after watching him on tape, I saw R.J. Felton play a bunch in high school too. But this the kid, Javon Small, man, he's a big-time playmaker, man. He really scares me. He can do it all, you know, all three levels. Man, he's quick. He can get to the basket. He can shoot. You know, he has the green light. But, you know, he's just some guy. He's some guy we're just going to have to contain. We just can't let him go off with 20, 25 points. We just have to make things difficult for him. Just stay with him in the basket. Just make things difficult. And he's got to have five guys on him. You know, he's got to see five guys, five numbers when he's attacking the basket. And he's not going to make every shot, but we just can't let him get hot. And then if he misses it, we got to rebound the ball. And we got to rebound the ball and just go run our offense.
And on the defensive end, who are some of your top defenders at this point?
For us?
Yes, sir.
Right now, I'd probably say Amard Harvey, the transfer from Coastal Carolina. He's given us some big minutes off the bench. I think he can guard 1 through 5. He's athletic. He's versatile. Obviously, Zach Alston, you know, he was like second in our league in block shots. He was like one of the top 15 guys in the country in block shots. Those are two defensive guys because they're just so versatile and so athletic that they can guard the 1 through 5 position. And then we also have our best perimeter guys, probably Brock Williams, who comes off the bench. He can really – I think he'll be in a matchup with Small, him and Bryant Randleman, as far as containing him and trying to keep him out of the paint.
Final thing for you, Coach, as your ball club's ready for play in the Big South Conference, I mean, tell us about your league. I know early in the season I had the chance to watch – UNC Asheville against UCF, and I was very impressed with what I saw from them.
Our league's gonna be much better this year. I know we lost a lot of guys to transfers and graduation, but you know, with Zach Alston, you know, Drew Pember at Asheville, the Ganey kid from upstate, I think we got a really good core as far as leagues play. Asheville's showing a lot of potential. Longwood, the defending champs, I think they're going to be good again this year with Isaiah Wilkins back. Gardner-Webb, they're going to be tough defensively. Campbell, they're going to do their thing. So I really like our league. It's going to be a fun league. We're going to play 20 games, so it's going to be a true schedule. Everybody's going to play everybody at home. Everybody's going to have to play everybody on the road. So it's going to be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll come up on top.
Yeah, you bring up that name, Drew Pember. Man, was he fun to watch that night. He put up 40 on UCF.
Well, yeah, Pete saw it. Then the other night, he made that buzzer beater at ETSU. So he's got the hot hand right now, and he was picked as preseason player of the year. So he's going to be a tough matchup for everybody in this league.
No doubt. Coach, I really appreciate the visit and appreciate you spending 10 minutes with us this morning. Best of luck this season. Safe travels to Greenville, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks to Coach G.G. Smith. That was a great interview, Bubba. Awesome job as we have our Pirate Preview here tonight. If you're watching us live on Tuesday night, and of course, we have it archived on Facebook and YouTube, and you can listen to wherever you listen to your favorite podcast as well. There you see the head coach, G.G. Smith. Bubba, awesome job. Like I said, big game. We need a lot of people to come out. I'm going to do my Bubba right now, and I'll pitch it to you, Bubba. We need a lot of people to come out. $8 tickets, lower bowl. I wish you and Matt lived closer where you could come tomorrow night. I'll be there 6 o'clock and get your tickets. $8. I mean, are you kidding me? The administration, we give them a hard time sometimes, but they do a great job this time of year with cheap tickets.
Yeah, hopefully Pirate Nation, you know, will answer the call and get out there, and you know, we'll have one of the bigger crowds. It's not the biggest crowd of the season thus far. I'd be a little surprised, honestly, with students on break, but hopefully Pirate fans will prove me wrong.
No question, Matt. Are you going to be watching the game, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'm looking forward to it. Excited with the progress this team is making and hoping we can get another win tomorrow.
Be fantastic. And before we get out of here, I know, Bubba, we have a lot of programming coming up, right?
Yeah, we'll have here in the next day or two, we'll have another edition of Sonny and Semenza talking bowl games on what's transpired thus far. You know, as we're not quite a third of the way through the bowl game, I guess about 25% actually, because you got more bowl games each year. I guess what is 49 this year, so we're about 25% of the way home. So we'll talk about what's transpired so far. We'll talk about some of the bowl games coming up in the near future. Take a look at the transfer portal as well as other things.
It's going to be great. And by the way, Monday nights, we have our show, and that'll be in Birmingham at Overtime Grill and Bar. I want you to come up and see that. We'll have that on social media everywhere. So make sure that you check that out. And of course, we have a lot of great programming between now and then. Between now and the bowl, hard to believe, is coming up next Tuesday. So less than a week away now, officially, we'll be in Birmingham, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a Christmas show on Thursday nights. And before we get out of here, I want to thank our great sponsors like L&K Custom Homes. Thanks to KK Walker. Kevin, man, has been so great to us. And, of course, great to the East Carolina program. He's a licensed general contractor. Call him at 336-688-8461. If you're in the Triad area of North Carolina, man, he puts on a show. He knows how to get the job done. Again, I appreciate L&K Custom Homes for the support of this program. Want to say hello to our good friends. Hey, at Porky's Backyard Barbecue, I delivered those toys this morning for our toy drive, and they were very appreciative of our toy drive we had on Saturday. We're going to do it again next year, so come by and see us. But you don't have to wait for the toy drive. You can go to Porky's anytime. Porky's Backyard Barbecue, and they're open. Their hours are actually 11 to 7. They've changed them Sunday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, they're still open 11 to 8 at Porky's Backyard Barbecue. And one more thing, guys, with Porky's, they have where you can get your sides. They even sell ham. So if you're looking for a great thing, they need 24 hours notice. Give them a call. A lot of great sides there. And pgxgloves.com. I want to give a shout out to Mark Minakazi, his support of the program. Mark has done lots for us at pgxgloves.com. We appreciate him very, very much. And by the way, and put in the promo code ECU, just type that in for 25% off on the custom baseball gloves, custom batting gloves, football gloves, swag, apparel, and so much more. Thanks to PGX Gloves, again, for their support of the program. Again, just go to pgxgloves.com. Appreciate you, Matt, very much, brother, for coming on tonight. And Bubba for setting up the interviews with G.G. Smith. And, of course, Joe Cashin for the play-by-play voice of the Chanticleers. And, man, did you guys have anything before we go?
No, just starting to get excited for the game, guys. It's almost here. You know, sometimes when you have 3 weeks, it doesn't feel like reality. But here we are now, a week away. So, you know, let's go.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you all very much. We'll get out of here for Matt, Bubba. And we miss our good friend Kyle from LaGrange Barber. He was off tonight. And we'll have him hopefully back for Christmas, for our Christmas show on Thursday. You've been watching the Pirate Preview, and it's right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Everyone, I copy that. Everybody gonna see it's go bananas. Feel that, but don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get it all, get the wave going like a hurricane, y'all.